tender and warm. Down in the Ozarks, back on the farm.
You're just in time for Hillbilly Heartbeats of the Air, friends, so come in and set a spell, won't you? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this and that and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking to help brighten your day on this sunny Saturday. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Fred. Good morning. And thank you, Fred, for your good words. Fella likes a good word. Kid a fella along and he'll do better work, won't he? Good morning, friends. I send you my love this morning and my greetings and every good wish. It's still a beautiful world in spite of all the meanness that's going on in it. You know, I've told you before what you already know, that there's nothing wrong with the world, this old world. It's just some of the people are crooked. Well, history repeats itself, and the test of a country is whether it forsakes the gods of its fathers. I wonder if we're going to. I guess not. I hope not. Progress we must have, but we hate a hollow, dry, mechanized, soulless progress, sapped of everything that makes a nation great, sapped of childlike beliefs and all things by which we may have an answer to the realities of living. You know, the flood of tourists we have coming to the Ozarks beats anything you ever heard of. And people are coming here to settle and to stay simply in droves. They're not coming here to find the usual drab and casual things which go with American life anywhere, highways and hotels and swimming pools and booze dumps and hot dog stands, and of course I guess we have to have them and all. They're everywhere. People are here trying to find a unique sort of homelikeness, a survival of a primitive people, a real life that is not false and ultra-sophisticated and hollow. People are awful tired of stuffed shirts. And a lot of them are finding a wonderful life here. A lot of them seem to find things in our Ozark country of gripping interest, and they all seem to love the people. I've talked to so many of them. We are a country of unique scenery and of caves and springs flowing millions of gallons of water a day and beautiful rivers. Do you know that the Gasconade and the Rubidoux rivers are considered the most beautiful streams in America? And the White River and the James River, on whose banks I was brought up, are not far behind. I wish I had a dime for every mile I've rowed my canoe on the James River when I was a gal. If I could get a dime for every mile, I'd buy me an oil well in Texas and settle down and be a good girl. And they say, I don't really want an oil well in Texas, though. I'm like I am with a Cadillac. I don't want it. They say the White River really has the grandest scenery along the stream of all of them, and it rivals the great Hudson River. Ethnologists are so interested in the evidence of early cave dwellers and mound builders here. There are over 10,000 mounds right in and around the city of Springfield alone, so I've been told quite a while ago. Mexico and Arizona make a big to-do of these things and develop them and dig into them, but some way we don't. They say that some of the mounds of the mound builders are right on the Drury campus here. The 14 tribes of Indians that once traversed these Ozarks make a study that is fascinating beyond words. The old Delaware town near Riverdale down here was once a flourishing Indian village until the government made the Indians move on, breaking our treaty with them in 1830. What we did to them, you know, is better keep it in the dark. This famous Indian town down there, old Delaware town, is not marked at all, and it should be by all means. Markers and everything, it should be memorialized. Springfield was once called Kickapoo Village. The village being a large one at about the site of Phelps Grove Park. This should have been marked and some account of it kept for posterity. You know, some way, Ozarkers are always just a contented lot, and so long as they're happy, they don't seem to care to keep much history about things. But you know, we're changing. Historical societies are being organized all over the Ozarks, and that's a wonderful thing. We have friends here and homes and winding roads and rivers and vistas and the wind moans and the cedars and the hound dogs howl, and we're perfectly contented. We have those things for which our forefathers gave their lives, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And neither principalities or powers can take them away from us. I never get tired of reading after Fred Starr, a real Arkansasian, a columnist who writes for the Daily World at Tulsa. Now, I love to get hold of Fred's stuff. He's real. I know him well, and he's just as real as his writing seems. I read where Fred said they were discussing the decline in the value of money on the porch at the country store the other day, and Uncle Jin Sing spoke up and says, "Time was when a nickel would buy something like a spool of thread, a bottle of soda pop, and maybe a hamburger at the county fair. Now all a nickel's good for is to help make change for a quarter." And one of his old cronies spoke up and said, "There ain't nobody nowadays got no quarter to be a wanting change for." He had some brains, too. He's about right. You know, a nickel, that's the truth, buys nothing anymore. I told you about the woman was so embarrassed, the lady was visiting her from the West, and when she went to leave, she took out a nickel and gave to her little five-year-old girl, a four-year-old, I think she was, and put it in her hand. And she says to the woman, "I'd like to know what you think I'd buy with that thing." Woman said it like killed her and her little young. Well, she meant it. "I'd like to know what she'd buy with it, too." Not even soda pop or an ice cream cone or a spool of thread and just barely a postage stamp. When I was a kid, a nickel would buy about 50 things that I could sit here and call to mind and mention. And they seemed wonderful. Well, anyway, let us be glad and thankful for everything. My dear friend Mrs. Dora Cooper at Birch Tree sent me this little poem about thankfulness. "Let us be thankful that the kittle gently sings. Let us be thankful for just for little things. Thankful for simple food and supper spread. Thankful for shelter and a warm, clean bed. Thankful for friends who share our woe or mirth. Glad for the warm, sweet fragrance of the earth. For golden pools of sunshine on the floor. For love that sheds its peace around our door. For rocking chairs and kindly firelight. For little things, let us be glad tonight." Isn't that true? Especially the rocking chairs. I tell you, I've gone in with Kennedy on that. There's nothing on earth that helps the nerves like a rocking chair. Yeah. Mr. C.H. Hooton of Marshfield sent me a cute joke. He said, "Some time ago, we had a bunch of surveyors from Iowa working here, there in Marshfield. One day on the streets, two of them were talking sarcastically about so many hillbillies around here. You know, they always begin about the hillbillies around here. A native fellow there who was quite a wit in his way, he spoke up and said that there wouldn't be so many hillbillies around here after September the 1st. "Oh, why?" said one of the Iowa boys. "How come?" Well, this guy said, "Oh, they all go to Iowa to teach your schools." They do, too. That's right, old boy. Get them told. I like to see them get them told. Well, you know how I love queer old things. And did I tell you about the old laws I read? I remember I told you some laws here a couple of years ago, but don't remember whether I told. I have an article that tells about the old laws are still on the books in many states. Many states have these old-fashioned laws and have never removed them or rescinded them. I guess it takes a process of law to remove them, so they just leave them alone. I guess nobody uses them. On the books right now in the state of North Carolina, it says it is against the law to sing out of tune. Well, maybe that's a pretty good law. It is in my book, against the law. Some old legislator didn't like to hear somebody howling off key, I suppose, so he made a law against it. You know, they were always against everything. The old man said, "Well, there's a heap of things that's happened since I was a young fella, and I'm against every one of them." In Maryland, it is against the law for a wife to rifle her husband's pants pockets while he's asleep. You know, after all, that's a pretty good law. That's something I never did do. Because, you know, I considered theft as theft, whether you commit it on your own husband or somebody else's husband. If it isn't safe for a man to hang his britches up in his own home, where can he hang them? In the old state of Massachusetts, it's on the books right now that it's against the law for a woman to appear in public with her face powdered or rouged. Woo-hoo. Well, now, I don't like that law. Because, you know, the old saying says, little dabs of powder, little smears of paint, make the nice old lady look like what she ain't. Yep. Don't forget, you folks, now, to send me the real old folks' birthdays so I can wish them happy birthday on the air. And I'll promise to try my best to remember and not lose track of them. I have a better system on that now, a filing system that I developed, and I won't forget it. And by the way, I've got to tell you this riddle that someone sent me a while back, and I can't remember who sent it. But you let me know what you think is the answer. Now, here it is. The man who made it didn't want it. I told this riddle to Dr. Reitman a while ago, and he couldn't guess it. The man who made it didn't want it. The man who bought it had no use for it. The man who used it didn't know it. What was it? The man who made it didn't want it. The man who bought it had no use for it. The man who used it didn't know it. Listen to this lovely verse, which is a favorite of mine. This is to the old folks and also to those who will be old someday. Age is a quality of mind. If you have left your dreams behind, if hope is lost, if you no longer look ahead, if your ambition's fires are dead, then you are old. But if from life you take the best, and if in life you keep the jest, keep the fun, that's true. If love you hold, no matter how the years go by, no matter how the birthdays fly, you are not old. Now remember that, if love you hold. And that's the truth. Miss Alice Boone, my good friend of this city, sent me a loving message on a card a while back. It'll do to take with you as I close. Of course, you all remember from the 91st Psalm, it said this, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Many, many soldiers, thousands of them, think they were saved that way in the war, the late wars, maybe they were. Then the little verse that's sent with it said, some time ago these words came in a note that someone didn't sign. I took them to my heart and made them mine. Throughout the years they gave me strength when things seemed dark and dim, because they made me realize I had a friend in him. And so today I'd like to send these magic words to you, because you see, I'm one who knows those words are really true. And so I leave that message with you. Thanks to some dear women again today for some trading stamps, and I'll be writing you a card or a letter. How dear are these women. I tell you, my heart belongs to them. Goodbye, and God bless you all. And Edie and Betty at my home. Edie's my guest. Bless her heart. And Betty, you gals, get up. I'm on the road home. Bye-bye, and I'll be seeing you all next Saturday, Lord willing, the creek goes live.